The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they're untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Here ends the text. Did you read the insert's introduction at the top? It begins, "Today the Christian church once more comes to the focal point of history, Passion Week." Really? Is this week called Great Week by Chrysostom and Black Week, Week of Silence and Indulgence Week by others? Is it really the focal point of history? I don't think so. I'll tell you what the focal point of people is: their kids. What school they're in and what school they will be in. What activities they participate in and what ones they will participate in. Oh, and they have to be around other kids. I can't tell you how many families told me when I first got here that they would like to come to Trinity, but we didn't have any kids. Their focal point sure wasn't Passion Week. It's no different for young people. I can't tell you how many of them have told me over the years, well, they couldn't consider coming to Trinity because we didn't have that many dateable people. Yes, the focal point was Passion Week for them, wasn't it? Not hardly. Their focal point was Relationship Week, Dating Week, Social Week. Any week that addressed their suffering and loneliness, not Jesus' suffering and death. It's no different with any of us. Our focal point is more likely to be the economy, the Middle East, Japan, the price of oil, or the price of gold. Our focal point is not a week in the life of Jesus, but our 5-year plan, our retirement plan, our SAT score, our cholesterol numbers, the obituary page, or our Facebook page. Let's be honest. Holy Week isn't the focal point of any of us. The only miracles Jesus does... No, I'm not even going to tell you that. If this week is really the focal point of your history, you ought to already know of the only two miracles Jesus does this right week. My point is that Jesus goes passive this week. At Lenten Vespers, we've seen how the only things Jesus does are suffer, cry, bleed, and die. Tell me, if you're sitting there with a cancer growing in your body, how does that help you? Tell me, if you have problems in your marriage or with your kids, how does that help you? Tell me, if you're worried, frightened, upset, or sad, how focusing on a Jesus who is sadder than you and weaker than you helps you. I don't see how what happens to Jesus this week can be the focal point of all history. Splitting the atom, mapping the human genome, the landing on the moon, all that takes a backseat to Jesus bawling his eyes out in Gethsemane, begging not to have to suffer and die, being betrayed by his best friend, and being ridiculed by everyone, from pagan soldiers to church leaders to common criminals. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be focused on this week. Didn't you listen to the Palm Sunday reading? Can't you tell where all this is going? Jesus was the focal point of the crowd when he acted like a conquering king. We're in chapter 19:28 at Jerusalem. But days ago in Jericho at 18:31, that's where Jesus started acting like the royalty his disciples needed him to be. Jesus lets blind Bartimaeus call him the messianic title Son of David, and then he summons him for an audience. Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' house as a king would do. Earlier in chapter 19, Jesus speaks the parable of how a nobleman finally gets his kingdom. And then on Palm Sunday, Jesus plays the king card and the crowds go nuts. He commissions, as a king would, two disciples to commandeer a donkey. He commands them to tell the owners royally, "The Lord of it has need." And Jesus lets them welcome him into Jerusalem the traditional way they would hail a conquering king. Jesus, who had told so many people not to tell anyone who he really was, lets them call him King and Christ and Son of David. Jesus, who told so many people not to tell of a miracle he had done, lets them shout the mighty works he had done. Now, this Jesus, he can be your focal point. He could do something about your worries about your kids, your loneliness, your retirement, or your cancer. I'll bet King Jesus is powerful enough to heal you, to help you, to make you successful, or at least happier than you are right now. But you see, this is only Sunday. Passion Week, not Palm Sunday, is supposed to be the focal point of history. You want to focus on his best friends betraying him? You want to focus on Peter promising to defend him and then denying he even knows him? You want to focus on the church rejecting him, though they didn't deny his miracles or the power of his word? You want to focus on the state killing Jesus in the most painful way possible, though they knew he was innocent? No, you don't. Neither do most people. The popular Jesus of Palm Sunday and the powerful Jesus of Easter Sunday, well, that can be people's focal point. They can slog through their problems, their pains, and their fears that they are focused on as long as they have a powerful, popular Jesus. But what need have they for a Jesus of the scars? A Jesus rejected by God and not even as powerful as an ordinary man. No, I'm sorry. The only people such a weak Jesus and such a week as this is a focal point for are those whose biggest problem is not their kids' education, not their retirement, not even their health. Whose biggest problem is their sins that loom before them as accounts that have to be settled. That's who this week is a focal point for. Those people know they must answer for every one of their sins. And they know they can't answer for even one of them because they just keep piling up more and more. The threats of the devil, the testimony of their own conscience, and the unbending law of God are right. They have sinned here, there, and everywhere. No excuses accepted. No second chances given. Focus on your sins. These are your problem. If your sins aren't taken care of, you may or may not go bankrupt. Your kid may or may not get into a great school. Your marriage may or may not be happy. But you will die the death of a sinner with every single one of your sins on your body and in your soul. And while all the other things you focus on can push your sins out of your head and your heart right now, they won't be able to do it on your deathbed, and your sins will charge. They will charge you like so many bloodthirsty warriors calling for your head. And you know what? God will give it to them. For sin only comes looking for its wages due. If you see that your sins, what you say, do, and think wrongly, lustfully, evilly, or gossipingly, If you see they are your problem, then focus on what happens to Jesus this week. Remember, he goes through this week as a person just like you. Neil Diamond has a song, Done Too Soon, where he sings how Jesus, along with other historical people, all have sweated beneath the same sun, looked up in wonder at the same moon, and wept when it was all done for being done too soon. Look at the sun today and look at the full moon tomorrow, and know that's the same sun and the same moon Jesus sweated, suffered, bled, and died under. And know that he did all of that for you and your sins. Jesus, though a man like you do, under a sun that made him sweat and under a moon that filled him with wonder, did so with no sin and no guilt of his own. And yes, he wept like you and I will for it being done too soon. Yet, he didn't have the bitter taste of tears upon his tongue for sins that he had done. But he was punished as if he did. He died as if he did. He sweated, suffered, bled, and sighed for your sins. And not only your sins, but the sins of the whole world. Not just the sins of believers. Not just the sins of church people. But the man Jesus died for the sins of the world. The sins of Fanny Bryce, Wolfgang Mozart, Humphrey Bogart, Genghis Khan, and on to H.G. Wells. Ho Chi Minh, Gangaden, Henry Luce, and John Wilkes Booth, and Alexander's King and Graham Bell. These people were the reason Jesus died. Jesus died because of the sins of all Americans, Asians, Africans, Eurasians, Latin Americans, and Europeans. And so what? So what, you might ask? Cindy Cartoon died for Charles Darnay in A Tale of Two Cities. Soldiers throw themselves on grenades for other soldiers. Policemen and firemen, they die for others. They die. And in reality, it doesn't stop the other people from eventually dying anyway. So why should Jesus dying for me, or for absolutely everyone for that matter, be the focal point of history? Because not only did Jesus sweat beneath the same sun as you do, as a flesh and blood man, he, being true God, made that sun. Not only did the man Jesus look up and wonder at the same moon as you will do tomorrow, he, as true God, made that moon. And wonder of wonders, when the man Jesus weeps for it being done too soon, it's the tears of God that fall to the ground. An ordinary man could die for the sins of others, but it takes the death of God in flesh and blood to pay for sins. And because Jesus is God, just one teardrop, just one blood drop, just one sigh will be more than enough to pay for all the sins you could ever imagine and even the ones you can't. So, if you know that no amount of water can wash away your sins, then focus on this week. Because this week is where Jesus pays to open up a fountain of baptism to send forth a life-giving water rich in grace. If you realize that your words of excuse and your promises to do better can only damn you deeper, then focus on this week, where Jesus pays for the Spirit he will breathe into the bodies of the disciples that will empower their words to forgive sins. If you know that your flesh and blood need real flesh and blood to rescue them from dying eternally for their sins, then focus on this week, where Jesus gives his body and sheds his blood to pay for sins, so that he might give his body for bread to eat and his blood for wine to drink. You know how when you're looking through a screen, you can focus on the screen, seeing only it, or focus on what's outside the screen so that you see the screen itself no longer? What you're doing is changing your focal point. You can do that this Holy Week too. You can focus on the screen of your day-to-day life so the events of Holy Week aren't seen at all. Or you can look beyond the screen of your daily life and focus on the events in the life of Christ this week. You can go to the upper room. You can climb Calvary's mournful mountain. And you can taste, touch, see, hear, and smell the things of your salvation. Or you can see the flies and bugs walking across the screen that is your life. Which do you think is the focal point of history? Which do you think the very stones themselves would cry out about? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.